So James chapter 3, verses 2 through 12 today, and the title of the message today is Verbal Impact. We're still looking at Christianity 101, sermons from the book of James here, and looking at very basic fundamental truths concerning Christian life and Christian service, and we consider today the impact that our words, that what we say can have both inward and outward in effect. And it can impact us, and it can impact others. So that's how we intend to bring the message today. First, the impact on us is verses 2 through 6, and then the impact on others, verses 7 through 12. What we say, verbal impact. Begin reading in verse number 2 here, where he says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Verbal impact today, looking at the impact of what we say both upon our life, our own life, and upon the lives of others. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time before we go further. Thank you, dear Lord, for your glorious Son who has made himself of no reputation, who has humbled himself to endure the death of the cross. And we are thankful, Lord, for that. And we're thankful for the shed blood that he poured out that we might be right, and that we might, that our sins might be washed and cleansed. And we ask your blessings now that before you, as we stand, as we are seated, and as we think today upon your word, that you might fill our hearts with grace and help us, Lord, that we would be very considerate, and more so in the days ahead, of how we use our tongue and how we speak. And we just pray that you might govern the way that it's used, and we'll give you the praise for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. James seems to be saying in our text today that there's both an inward and an outward effect to what we say. It can impact us personally, and it can impact others. And so we look at this message today as two parts here. Verses 2 through 6 seem to be talking about the impact on us and how what we say can impact us, and then how what we say can impact others in verses 7 through 12. Last week we looked at James's words on rash reproving, becoming masters of other brethren in the previous two verses, or in verses 1 and 2. all of verse 1, the beginning of verse 2. And that instruction on reproof introduces our section today regarding the general nature of what we say. So he's dealing with what is said in the sense of judgment and rash reproof of other people. So we're already dealing with the tongue as we begin this chapter. Well, now he goes into more a general assessment of the tongue and its impact upon both our personal life and the lives of others. And so that's what we want to think about today. First of all, I should consider that what I say often redirects my own life. What I say can have an impact upon my life. In other words, I need to be careful not only for the sake of the harm that can be done to others with what I say, which we'll look at, we'll give consideration to, but it seems that as James begins here, he's more focused on what it can do to us personally. What we say can have an impact, and how it can impact our lives personally. And so we think about this, first of all, verses 2 through 6, and I want to start with a question, first of all, because sometimes we don't think about how that what we say is actually can have a pretty devastating effect upon our own personal lives. Do you ever have to justify or defend what you have said to someone else? And all of us would say yes. We've many times had to do that. We've said it, and now we're having to defend it, and we're having to justify it. Have you ever said something, and you're defending it or justifying it, but you almost wish you hadn't have ever said it in the first place? I think all of us have been there too. And it may have been no ill intention to begin with, but then your pride or even perhaps our fear causes it to be a matter that we are having to internally struggle with now, and it can change the focus and the direction of at least our day. You know, you can have a pretty lousy day because you said something and you wish you hadn't have said it, and you said something, or you said something and it ended up being something that was taken the wrong way or whatever, and it affects your life. Or it's you say something and you feel like you have to defend it out of pride or maybe even out of fear, out of the consequences that might happen because of the fact that you've said something that you probably oughtn't have said in the first place. We try to justify it. Well, that kind of internal struggle that goes on in our lives is real, and it sometimes is affected simply by a loose tongue. Sometimes it's affected by us saying not saying the right thing. Well, first of all, let's make a general statement here that James makes in verse 2. James says, "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body." Let me paraphrase that myself. If I can control what I say, my life will be better off. Okay? If I can control what I say, I'm going to be better off. My life will be better off. Because he says here in verse number 2, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. What's he talking about? He's talking about himself. In other words, that person is able to bridle himself, the whole body being his own body, himself. And so he's not talking here about the effect or the impact on others right here. He's talking about if you can control your tongue, that you're going to be able to better control yourself. If your tongue is out of control, then it can affect you. And he's going to go on to give some examples here of how that our tongue impacts both our action and our direction. In other words, what we say can have an effect upon our what we do, and it can have an effect upon the direction that we are going. And so, look at verse 3. He begins with this example. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth. Okay, so he just got through using the same example by saying he's able to bridle the whole body. So in other words, just the mouth is like the bit that's put in the horse's mouth. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. So a little bit, just a little bitty bit, put it in the horse's mouth, and it can control the actions and the direction of a large horse. A big horse can be controlled by that little bit. And that little bit, being turned just the right way, being tugged just the right way, is going to control that entire horse. And he is saying that our tongue is like that little bit. It's like that little bit. And if it's turned the right way, then we can go a right direction. If it's done a little bit wrong or just a little bit different, then it can end up controlling our direction, our action, what we're doing. Then he says, he uses another example to say the same thing in verse number 4. Behold also the ships, which though they be great, large, big ships, and are driven of the fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm whithersoever the governor listeth. A little helm can control the actions and direction of a large ship. Large ships turned by just a little helm, and he's saying that the tongue is the same way. That the tongue among our members is like the helm to the ship. The tongue is to us like the helm is to the ship. And so we can be affected by what we say. What we say can direct us in different directions, can turn us in a different direction, and it can affect us. It can control our actions. It can be like that bit in the horse's mouth that controls what we do. It might keep us from doing the right things because we said something that we shouldn't have said, because we said something the wrong way that we shouldn't have said it. So a little helm can control the actions, the direction of a large ship. Verse 5 and 6, he talks about fire. How much fire does it take to burn down a forest? Doesn't take much, does it? Little spark is all it takes. You say, it might not even be a flame yet. Just takes a little spark, and that can burn down the whole forest. And that's what happens. I mean, that's the way it happens. It's just a little spark, and all of a sudden the whole forest is down. Verses 5 and 6. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member. So he says he's applying this, the helm and the bit, to the tongue. He says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. So the tongue has an impact upon great things. And what great things? Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. A little fire, what can it do? Well, it can destroy that forest that it is in. It can just totally destroy the forest that it is in. The tongue is a little member that can destroy, have devastating and destructive effects upon the life of the person that it's in. In other words, it can affect us first. That's not to say that it can't affect others, but it can affect us. A little fire, first of all, it's going to spread. It's going to first affect just right where it's at. And that tongue has an effect initially upon us, upon our own lives and our own actions and direction. A little fire can destroy it. So what I say, what I might say, has a controlling effect on the action and the direction of my life. It can make my days, my weeks, my months, even my years be very miserable and diminish my fulfillment and joy. Is it the Lord's will to take away our joy? And I'd say, no way. That's not his plan. He does not plan to take your joy away. Ultimately, he is planning to give you the fullest of joy that you can imagine. His plan for us and for our lives is to fill our lives with joy and fulfillment. But as God's people, we know that there are times where that we don't feel that way. I mean, we know the times where that we are not good and that we are not in a good way. And those times we're not in good, sometimes, we know that, sometimes it's because of something we said. It's because of something we said and that we are living the result of something we said, and it has an impact upon the direction we're going. It has an impact upon our life, and we are kind of controlled by what we said. And so it's really critical, and James is talking very basics of Christian living, and he is saying here that it is critical, it is crucial to be careful about what we say, but it's also understandable, and we need to know that this is what we do, that these are realities in our lives. And if these are realities in our lives, they're going to be realities in the lives of others, of our friends, of our loved ones. They're real. They're things that sometimes that we say things and it's going to have an effect personally upon us. It's going to impact us. Secondly, here, verses 7 through 12, not only does James deal with how that what I say often redirects my life, but he also, now we should consider that what I say often hurts others. It can be have an offensive effect or a hurtful effect upon other people. Verse 7 and 8, I cannot totally tame what I may say. I can't do it. You can't either. The scripture says we can't. Verses 7 and 8. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought that's what we need to do. We need to tame what we say. Yeah, but there's not a single one of us that can. Okay? Does the scripture ever tell you to do something that you know you can't do? Yeah, it does. It certainly does. And tells us that we need the grace of God, and we need to pray, and we need the provision of God's Spirit in our life to permit that. We need God working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, because we can't do it. He's saying your tongue can't be tamed. Verses 7 and 8 says that. Verse 7, for every kind of bird, or excuse me, every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. You can tame all kinds of animals. Verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. Well, wait a minute. Some people. No, can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Mine? James is saying mine is. James is saying that every one of our tongues they're full of deadly poison. They're an unruly evil, as he says here. They're just bent. They're bad. Do you ever just lose control and you say things? What happened? You had to really try to say something mean. No, you didn't have to really try to say something mean. It just came natural, didn't it? Comes natural. A little kid, when he comes forth from the womb, what does the scripture say he does? Speaking lies. He just comes and you don't have to teach a kid how to lie. You don't have to teach a kid to do wrong. You don't have to teach a kid what to say the wrong things. It's just not. You got to teach them not to. You got to try to stop them. You have to govern them. You have to do something to cause them not to. And the tongue is the same way. The tongue cannot be totally tamed. So I cannot tame what I may say. I can't totally get control of what I say. So I've got to be really careful because when I know if there's times where I'm vulnerable, if there's times where that I know the devil has an opportunity and where I'm not close to the Lord and I'm not submitted to the Lord, I know there are going to be times where it's going to be easy for me to say the wrong things and to say something that's going to be untamed. It's not going to be proper. It may not be dirty, but it might be damaging. It might be hurtful. So I can't totally tame what I may say. Got to know that. Need to know that. Then in verse number 9, he says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. What I may say is evil and can be deadly, but what I may say, in verse number 9, what I may say may be hypocritical. It may be hypocritical. It can, verse 8, it can be evil and deadly. But verse number 9 says, what I may say may be hypocritical. I'm blessing God with my tongue, but I'm cursing men, which are made after the similitude of God. So he's saying, you know what? It shouldn't be that my life is a life in which that I'm cursing men. But what I may say will be hypocritical. There are going to be times where I am, where my mouth, where that my tongue, where that what I say is going to come across and it is going to be hypocritical. It's going to happen. You can't tame your tongue. It's real. Verse 9 says, therewith bless they God. No, bless we God. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. James includes himself in this whole discussion. And he says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. We have a proneness, our tongue is going to bless God and curse men. It's going to do it. It's going to happen. Has it ever happened to you? It sure has happened to me. It happens. I got to know that. Need to know that I can't tame it. It's going to be evil. It can be even deadly. And what I may say will be hypocritical. Verse number 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. What I may say will be improperly inconsistent. He says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. He says, they shouldn't be, but out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. He says, it's real. This is what happens. This is what occurs in our lives. What occurs in our lives is sometimes we are improperly inconsistent. We've got cursing and blessing coming out of the same mouth. And he's saying, that shouldn't be. Why shouldn't it be? Well, he gives some other illustration here as to why that shouldn't be. Verse 11, he says, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? From the same place. Totally inconsistent. Just, is that possible? No, a fountain produces fresh water. There's no fountains that produce salt water. There's no fountains that, nature of a fountain is to produce at one place one kind of water. Now, there might be bitter fountains, but they're bitter all the time. And there might be some very, very sweet fountains, some very, very clear water, clean water. Experience that in a lot of places. Colorado is one good one. Can the fig tree, he says, my brethren, bear olive berries? Why doesn't a fig tree bear olive berries? Because it's its nature to bear figs, right? It's just natural for it to bear figs. Can a vine bear figs? No. Fig trees bear figs. Vines don't bear figs. It's not natural for them to do that. What I say is going to be sometimes out of place with who I am. That's what James is saying here. He says it shouldn't be that way. He's explaining why it shouldn't be that way, but he's saying that it is that way. He's saying that your mouth sometimes is going to be, what you say is going to be inconsistent with your character, with who you are. Does that ever happen? Well, of course it does. It happens to us anytime. I mean, we know who we are by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God, but at the same time, I know many times I'll say things that are totally inconsistent with who I am before God. So it's real. It's something that happens in our lives. And so what I may say can have a very hurtful impact upon others. And it's something I can do. It's something that I do. It's something that my tongue is an unruly evil. My tongue is a fire. My tongue is capable. My tongue is not just capable, is prone to saying things that are going to be hurtful. So, I can't just let it go. I can't just say what I feel. I can't just trust my emotion. I can't just trust my instincts with what I say. So you got to be really careful. So what does this all say? When James is telling us this, what's he saying to us? I mean, what is it? What is he saying? Why is he telling us that you can't do this? That it's impossible for you to tame your tongue? If he says, hey, it's not right for it to be untamed, and it's impossible for you to tame it, then what's he saying? Well, I think it's pretty clear, it should be obvious to the believer, that this says that I am in desperate need of divine help all the time. If I am in a place where I'm going to be communicating, where I'm going to be speaking to somebody else, saying something to somebody else, then I'm in desperate need of divine help. I need his help. So I know I'm going to talk to somebody today or tomorrow afternoon or something like that, and I know it's I could say the wrong thing. I know it could be something that could be hurtful to somebody, and so I need the help of God. I need to be careful. I need to be deliberate in what I say. Sometimes I need to think about ahead of time what I say and not just trust my gut. You know, pray that God gives you the words. Pray that God gives you the spiritual direction that you need. I mean, we have situations every day that come up that we need to do that. That we so desperately need the help of God. Help me, Lord. Keep me from saying, from following my emotion. Keep me from saying something that's going to be hurtful to somebody else. Keep me from saying something that's just my instincts and what I feel like saying and what I think will help. Prevent me from saying it. The book of Proverbs is full of general characterizations of conversations where that they shouldn't have ever happened in the first place. Or that, you know, you should have just kept your mouth shut. There are times where it's better just not to say anything. But when we know we've got to say something, when we know there are certain things that need to be said for the very sake of morality, for the very sake of doing what is righteous and what is good, then we desperately need divine help at that time. And so, but we need divine help. We know we're capable of talking all the time. We got people around us much of the day sometimes. And so this says that I'm in desperate need of divine help all the time. Second thing it says is it says I should be humble and ready to eat my words and make amends quickly. Because if what James says is true, that it can control the course of my life, what I say can control the course of my life, then I need to jump ship quick. I need to be ready to make amends. I need to be ready to be humble enough to say, you know what, I just shouldn't have said that. Instead of trying to defend it, instead of trying to justify it, sometimes it's better just to say, I'm really sorry I shouldn't have said that. That was the wrong thing to say. And sometimes I say what's the wrong thing to say. I've got a tongue that I cannot tame. And that's just the reality of every one of our lives. And there's nothing wrong with being humble. There's nothing wrong with eating our words. There's nothing wrong with making amends quickly, because it can affect our life. It can affect our day, our month, our year, because we are so consumed with either justifying it or just being sorry about it or whatever. Guilt is bad too. That we just feel it and it's consuming us, and when we should have just done something about it right away. It says that I'm desperate need of divine help all the time. It says that I should be humble and ready to eat my words and make amends quickly. And then the third thing it says is looking at my brethren, looking at others, and considering the fact that they can't tame theirs either. They can't tame. Nope, he can't tame his or her tongue. And so it says I need to deal very mercifully with others and what they say. It's better to misunderstand somebody and think they said something nice than it is to misunderstand them and think they said something mean. It really is. It's so much. If you didn't understand quite what they said, don't get in a tizzy about it. It's so easy for us to do that. It's so easy for us to just get all boiled up and unmerciful. I can be really unmerciful with people. I can be so unmerciful. I can misunderstand something somebody says, and it's like you jump down their throat. What do you mean by that? You know, or something. It just that we could realize that what they say is just like what we say. It's uncontrolled. Sometimes we've kind of gendered the emotion a little bit in them, so we're kind of responsible for it ourselves. We're just better off. Hey, I'm preaching to myself. We're just better off dealing very mercifully with others and what they say. Sometimes they don't mean what they say. You say, well, but you said it. Yeah, I know, but I didn't really, it's not really me. And what does James say? That can be real. That can be true. That it's not really them. That they would rather take that back and never have said it at all. And it's okay for us to just be merciful with them. It's okay for us to let it go. It's okay for us to just accept it and move on. And so James seems to say that there is that the verbal impact, that the words are what we say can have an impact upon us personally, and it can have an impact upon other people around us, or they're listening to us, they're hearing us. And so exercise care, but also exercise mercy. Care for what we say, praying to God, getting divine help, ready to make amends quickly, and merciful, not only for ourselves and the reality that sometimes that we're going to say stupid things, and it's okay for us to admit that and for us to go on, but then also it's okay for other people to do the same thing, and we can live just fine. We can live happy lives with the fact that someone said something that was out of character and that wasn't the right thing to say and could have been hurtful to us, but you know what? We're not going to let it happen. Not going to let it hurt us, because we know how we are, and we know how James says the tongue is, and so can't be tamed in me, then it can't be tamed in other people either. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us, the opportunity you give us to honor you and to look to your word, and we pray that your spirit might speak to our hearts and cause us, Lord, to be concerned about what we say and look to you, Lord, in times when we know that we must speak. And we just pray for grace to say the right things. And Lord, also we pray for grace to humble ourselves and admit that we said the wrong things. And Lord, grace to be merciful unto others that may say the wrong things as well. We give you the praise and glory and the honor for what you do. We thank you for Christ, our great example, who set such a humble example before us. And by your great grace and mercy, your great love to us, that sinners are justified, sinners are redeemed, sinners are forgiven, and your mercy has gone out towards sinful people like us. We'll give you the praise forever for it. In Jesus' name, amen.